all my days. I've been held in your hand from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. I will see of the goodness of God.
Chorus. 2, 3, 4.
In all my life you have been faithful. In all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am making, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Sing this.
3, 4.
In all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness.
You can be seated.
Two things. It is encouraging when the band stops playing and when the crowd is singing. Man, that is awesome. I'm going to tell you, I guess it's because we hadn't had as many as we have today. It's been a while since I've heard that. Last week, I guess I sat down here maybe 10 minutes or so before we started the 11 o'clock service. And when I got up to do the invitation, you guys took my breath away because I didn't realize how many people were here. And it's just encouraging for us to be able to be here. And to experience the goodness of God, because our God is good. Today, I'm not going to get emotional. I'm not. Man, you guys just do it to me, man. I'm telling you what, the Lord is doing a work here. The Lord is good. Today, we're going to be in John 17, 20 through 23. And I think it's true that we spend time with people that are like us, right? The people that you spend time with are people that are generally like you. Maybe the same, you like to do the same things. Maybe you have the same personality. You have the same ideas. And we tend to gravitate towards people like that. Whenever I was a kid, had a great childhood. One of the highlights of my childhood was my friend Jason. I met him in the fourth grade and found out his grandmother lived two fences behind me. Now, what that meant was you cross the fence at my house, you go through some woods, you cross the next fence, and in my opinion, you entered into paradise, okay? Let me just set the stage for what I was able to experience in the fourth grade. I crossed the fence, and it's a field. It looks like a field. There's no underbrush. It's just a field, but with these huge pine trees scattered all over the place. To me, it looked like 1,000 acres, probably only about 25, okay? But there's a cabin out there. Who doesn't love a cabin, right? There is a pond there, a small lake, if you will, okay? There is my friend's grandmother's house, and she has a swimming pool, by the way. But one of the biggest things for me was they had goats. And me and my friend Jason, we would go and we would find a hubcap, and we would take a stick and we start beating that hubcap. And that's what they would call the goats with. The goats would come in and we would entice them into the barn with a little bit of feed, and then we would wrestle the goats. I'm telling you, if you've never done it, go for it, right? Live large, wrestle goats. It's amazing, okay? But Jason and I hung out together. We grew up, and he loved to play basketball, and I did too. He lived 8 miles down the road in a little town called Pinola. And I would drive to Pinola on Sunday afternoons, and we would play backyard ball all the time, almost every Sunday, playing the backyard ball all the time. But we were close. He liked to do some things that I liked to do. He liked to fish and hunt and swim and do all of that. And I did too. So we hung out together. And we gravitate towards people that are like ourselves. And we tend to move away from people that are not like ourselves. And the truth is, that can be a battle for us. And that can be a struggle for us. Because the problem is, and you know this, we're surrounded by people that are different. That's not a newsflash, right? We are. Whether that be in our school, our neighborhoods, our teams, our family, and even in our church, we're different. Different thoughts, different backgrounds, different perspectives about things. And these differences make it harder for us to connect. Not impossible, but these differences also make it easier for conflict to happen too. And the truth is that whenever we work with people, there's going to be differences. There just are. It's going to happen. Now, how we handle those differences determines a lot. It can either be a good thing or it can be a really bad thing, because differences can lead to conflict. Differences can lead to disunity, and it can derail us. It can derail the church. Should be a picture maybe going to pop up on the screen, I think. Maybe. It's coming. Oh, here it comes. Okay. You guys know what this is? Amtrak train. Probably, as far as I can remember, the only time I ever rode in an Amtrak train was my parents wanted to take Haley, which at the time was probably 2, I don't know, on a train ride. So we drove. We lived in Mendenhall, so we drove to Jackson, 30 miles away. And we got on the train, me and my dad and Haley. And my wife and my mom drove down to Wesson, which was only probably 40 miles away. And we get on the train and everything is great. Everything is lovely. And we ride the train all the way to Wesson and then we get off. So once again, if you've never done that, maybe that's something to you. Hey, let's go ride a train. Let's go do that. Okay. But anyway, an Amtrak train. Think about a train. A train is built to travel. A train is built to go somewhere. A train is full of people who are trying to get to a destination. It's got employees who are working together to get them somewhere in unity in the same direction. They're going somewhere. But sometimes this happens. There you go. You guys know this. You guys have seen this. It derails. And something caused the train to derail. And it crashes. And there's damage. And there's injuries. And there's death. And I bet you that there's people that were on that train who survived it that thought, hey, that wasn't fun. And you know what? I may never get on another train again in my life because of the experience that I had on that train. And disunity derails teams and friendships and family, and disunity will derail the church. Now, to set the stage for the scripture today in John 17, this is after the Last Supper. Just after that, Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And Jesus is within hours of his death. And Jesus knows this. He knows what's about to happen. He knows what's coming soon. He's about to be crucified. So he's going to pray. And if you were about to die, what would you pray? It would not be the normal prayer. Because time is short and words matter more whenever time is short. Listen to what he prayed for. It says this in verse 20. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. So in that moment, Jesus is praying for the disciples, right? Which I get that. I understand that. It's about to be all on them. Jesus is about to go back into heaven, and it's going to be up to the disciples. I get that. But he prays for the church. He prays for all who will ever believe in me through their message. He prays for you and he prays for me. In his last moments, he prayed for us, the church, the body of Christ. And whenever I read that, that is so humbling to me. To know that my Savior took time before he died to pray for me, to pray for you. But let's look at what he prayed for. It says this in 20 through 23. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. So what he prays for is unity. Unity for the church. He did not pray that the church would have more strength and more courage or more money or have the right arguments or win all the debates. No, he prays for unity for the church. And what does it mean to be unified? It means this, that we are for each other, even if we don't agree. Because what we already know is this, is that we're not going to agree on everything. You will not agree with everything that I think, and I will not think, and I will not agree on everything that you think. But it means that we are still for each other in the middle of that, and we will work with each other, and we will encourage each other, and we will put up with each other, because many times that's what we have to do. And we will not fight with each other, but we will fight for each other, no matter the differences. No matter the differences. So why is this such a big deal? Because disunity can derail the church. Because it shifts the focus of the church. In the middle of that crash of that Amtrak train, everything changed. Because just a few moments before, everything was fine. Everybody was great. Everything was doing well. Everybody was thinking, hey, can't wait to get there. Something happens. It derails. Everything stops. And whenever the church is derailed, it shifts the focus. What should and is our focus of the church of Jesus? It is to make disciples who make disciples. That is what we are to be about. We are to equip and train the saints to make disciples who will make disciples. But when there's conflict and we're being derailed, it takes time away from that. And our focus becomes the conflict. Our focus becomes the disunity. All the while, people are not being discipled. All the while, the gospel is not being shared. All the while, people are not hearing and they're not receiving the good news of Jesus. And truth is, think about this, all the while, people are dying without the gospel, and people are dying and going to hell. And it sucks the life out of us whenever we're going through something like that, because it's not just 1 week, right? A lot of times whenever the church is derailed, it takes a long time to recover and recoup, and you feel like you're going nowhere fast. And maybe you may have had thoughts of, man, I don't know if I like this anymore. Man, I don't know if I want to come back here anymore, right? Unity is a big deal. You see, over time, the early church became bigger. I mean, Peter stands up and he shares the gospel and 3,000 people accept Christ. So the church is growing big time, but bigger is better, right? Well, in some ways, but bigger also means a lot more problems. It means lots of opportunities to disagree, to bicker, to argue, to gossip, all things that can destroy the church. And no one wants to be a part of anything like that. So why does he want us to be unified? Why? And that question is a huge question. Never be afraid of the question why. Why is a great question. It reveals so much about what's going on. Listen to this. This is incredible. 17 verses 23b. It says, may they experience such unity. Here's the why. That the world will know you sent me. And that you love them as much as you love me. Jesus is saying here that the way that we treat each other affects what people believe about him. And this is huge. Jesus is saying that the way that we treat each other as the body of Christ affects what other people believe about him. Because the truth is, the world is watching us. Chris, I don't want the world to watch us. Too bad. That's the way that it's designed. The world is supposed to watch us. We want them to watch us. We are the light of Christ. And how we live our life and how we treat each other affects what people believe about him. So unity makes Jesus' message more believable to the world. The world looks at our lives and says, I want what they have. They're different, but in a good way. And if we're not unified and we have conflict and we're not handling that well, guess what? Disbelief. They say, I don't want what they have. Look at that. Why would anybody be drawn to that? And it turns them away from the gospel. So whenever you see this and realize this, this makes unity a bigger deal. And something to work at, to make it a priority, something to fight for in life. Now, it's really easy to focus on the differences in our church and in the people in the church. Maybe you focus sometimes on how other people annoy you. Maybe. Or how they behave. Or how they think differently than I do. And it's so easy to gossip and to judge and to argue. All of that is natural, because that's kind of the sin nature just kind of rising up in us. So the question is, how do we become more unified? How does Emmanuel Baptist Church become more unified? I think that we have to learn to rise above our differences, but to stay united by our love for Jesus, that Jesus is our common bond, that we're not going to agree on everything, but you know what? I love you in Jesus. You're not going to think like I think, But you know what? I still love you in Jesus, that Jesus is our common bond. And whenever we see that and live that out, then those differences become much, much smaller and not a big deal. Because at the end of the day, we know that our common bond in is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we're going to have differences, but that's okay. So who's responsible for keeping unity? Well, it's the pastors, because that's their job. We give our tithe and we pay them. So yeah, it's going to be the pastor's job. No, maybe it's the pastors and the deacons, because we elected them, right? And so it's their job to keep the unity of the church. You guys know where I'm going with this. No. I mean, yes. But the responsibility for unity in our church is with you. With every single person in our church. And it is with me. I have a role to play. You have a role to play. I have a role to play outside of being a pastor here. As being a member of the body of Christ at Emmanuel, I have a role to play. You are responsible for your own contribution to the unity of the church. Look, you can't control others. I know you may try to control others. You may work really hard at that, but you can't control other people. But every time, you can control you. You can control you. And it begins with some things that we need to make sure are in place. The first thing is this, is your relationship with God. Your relationship, not Chris's, not somebody else's, but you. Where are you in your walk with Christ? Are you content with your walk with Christ? I pray that you will not be. Because as you seek the Lord and you find Him and you get this far, guess what? There's a long way to go still. And you get this far, there's a long way to go still. And you go and you go. That's why they call it a lifelong journey. But as you seek Him and you find Him, never be content with your walk with Christ. There's more to learn. There's more to know about Him. Because what I found, the more that I find out about my God, I find out so much more about myself and who I am in Christ and the things that I'm supposed to be about every day. But are you growing in Christ? Are you growing in Christ? Are you in God's Word every day? Chris, I don't really have time to. You don't have time not to spend time in the Word of God. Do whatever it takes. One of the things that has been incredible in our youth ministry is that with the curriculum and stuff that we use, there are Bible plans. YouVersion app. You're like, Chris, I don't even know how to do that. Get on YouVersion app. There's so many Bible plans that help you. And even if you've never fed on the Word of God before, you can just get a scripture. Just a scripture and a thought. And just to begin to just nibble on God's Word just a little bit. And let that be a spiritual habit in your life where that becomes something that you do every day. And that becomes who you are, part of who you are. And God's Word is incredible. God's Word is amazing. There's so much reminding and truth that we all need to see every single day. So how is your walk with Christ? Are you walking with Him? Are you listening to the Spirit? Remember, God lives in us with the Holy Spirit. Are you alert? Are you listening to Him? Are you doing what He calls you to do every day? Are you seeking His face, acknowledging, God, I can't do this by myself. God, I need you in my life in prayer. God, I'm desperate for you. I need you. Help me. Lord, speak to me. Guide me. Are you doing that daily? There is a responsibility that you and I have as we live our life, as this world is watching us. So how is your relationship with God? Is it growing? Another thing is how you treat people, how you treat others in your family, at work, here in this church. How you talk about people from our church. Maybe there's some conflict, right? Maybe there's some conflict with one of the pastors, right? I mean, there's going to be times whenever I do something stupid and I offend you, right? Tommy, let's just say that Tommy decides that he's going to serve blue Kool-Aid to all the kids. And you know, that's just not your style. You know, you think, you know what? I really think I've got a conviction. Tommy needs to be serving red Kool-Aid because, you know, that's the way that we used to do it. And so red Kool-Aid, that's the way to go. And you're upset about that. One of the easiest things to do is just go, you know what? I'm going to take that up with my deacon. I'm going to sit down with that deacon. We're going to have a talk, and I'm going to let that deacon straighten out Tommy Burford. Look, the best thing that you can do is do the hard thing. Taking a deep breath and saying, Tommy, can I get with you? Can I sit down and talk with you? And I'm going to tell you, whenever you do that, when you do it, as God says in Scripture, to be able to do something face to face, because this is what I know. People have had problems with me before and have sat down with me and had concerns. And you know what I found out a lot of times? What they opened up their mouth and said to me is exactly what I needed to hear. That God was using the body of Christ to help me, to speak truth to me. It may have stung a little bit, but there's so many times that God has used people to speak truth to me in my life. And that can't happen unless we're willing to sit down and get together and talk about that. And the other thing is that the relationship becomes stronger. I've seen that over and over and over again. Maybe you have conflict, something is happening, but you sit down with a humble heart and you sit down and you leave that meeting going, man, we're stronger. We're stronger today than we ever have been because now I understand them. I understand where they're coming from. I've listened to them and they understand me. And remember, we have a common bond in Jesus that in the end, I love you in Christ. I love you in Christ no matter what. I love you in Christ because God has saved me and from all of my sins and God has saved you from your sins and we need each other as we live our lives. Or maybe there's conflict with fellow believers here. Something has happened. You're like, well, I'm just going to avoid them. Or I'm going to go talk to my friends and I'm going to share my prayer need with them. And it just feels so good to do that. But you're tearing them down when really what you need to do is do the hard thing. Listen, following Jesus is not easy. It's difficult. There's so many times when God calls us, most of the time when God calls you to do something, it's not easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. And you know what? You're going to be at the point of going, God help me, right? Which is where He wants us anyway. But for you to have a conversation with that fellow believer and just talk about it. Just talk about that. And I promise you, I've seen it. I've seen God do amazing things with relationships that you would have thought would never be restored and reconciled, but through humble hearts coming together, sharing hearts, you leave there and going, man, I love you in Christ. We may not agree, but you know what? That's not the point. The point isn't that they see things your way. The point is understanding and sharing and growing through experiences like that, and that in the end, help us be unified and make us stronger in the end. But many times, you're going to be the one to have to make the first move and love them. And it's difficult. It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to love each other. It is. And it's okay to say sometimes it's hard. It's hard. And a lot of times we want other people to lead the way, right? Step back. I'm just waiting for somebody else to lead the way. When so many times He's saying, you, I'm calling you to step up. You to be able to lead the way. For you to be the example of the church. But it's just me, Chris. No, right. It is just you. It is you. And you are a believer in Christ. And you have power and strength through the Holy Spirit to rise up and to act out on exactly what God is calling you to do, whatever that is. And in a room like this, there are so many things right now that God is calling us as a church to do individually. But it starts with you and it starts with me. Because there's so much at stake here, church. Because the world is watching us. They are. And that's what we want. We want them to be watching us. And the prayer is that as we live our lives daily in school and at work and in our everyday life, that they will see the light of Christ and be drawn to our Jesus through our lives. That's the way God has designed this thing. And that is a good thing. But there's a lot at stake. There's relationships at stake. There's renewed spirits at stake. There are marriages at stake. There is salvation, literally salvation at stake. That's why Jesus prayed for unity near the end of his life, for us, for you and for me, because he knew it was going to be difficult. It's not easy. He knew that we would make excuses. He knew that we would naturally let our differences divide us. Because if we want to accomplish the mission, we have to be unified. What does this mean? This means for you and for me to humble ourselves. Last week, we read a scripture of how Jesus humbled himself by going to the cross and he became a servant. That's what it means for us. I pray that as we walk in these doors, that we will know that we will be humbled and that we will walk in as a servant of the gospel and a servant of Jesus, ready to love and meet needs and to care for the people of our church and in the end, the people in our world. To humble ourselves and to serve each other. I think it means to also say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for fill in the blank and ask for forgiveness. Because, hey, here's the deal. Especially, man, we've been here. A lot of us have been here for a long time, right? I've been here for 10 years. A lot of us have been here even longer than that. But through the course, we've wronged each other. And maybe we haven't dealt with that. Maybe we're like, oh, it's not a big deal, but it keeps rising. It's not a big deal, but it keeps rising up. It keeps rising up. And it's still there. You need to deal with that. You need to seek forgiveness. You need to seek to make things right. This, y'all, that is a good thing to be able to do that. It means having hard conversations, perhaps. Speaking the truth in love. Once again, it's not a bad thing. It is a good thing as we seek to understand each other. As we live our lives and we are the church, it also means to agree to disagree. It's okay. It's okay that you don't agree with me, but I still love you in Christ. I mean, I love you in Christ. It's not that I just tolerate you or I endure you. No, I love you with the love that God has shown me. I love you with that kind of love. And then to also forgive as God forgives us. Think about that one for just a little bit. Think about your life for just a second. What all has God forgiven you for? Man, the list is long in my life. And I didn't deserve it. And I turned my back on my Savior so many times. Yet He has forgiven me. That is exactly how God calls us to forgive each other. We're going to wrong each other. A lot. Sometimes over and over and over again. We just don't learn, right? But we need to talk about that. And we need to forgive as God forgives us. Look, whenever Jesus left this earth, the church, the early church, changed the culture. Really changed the world. The early church, man, they did some amazing things because no one had seen people who were so different stand together. I mean, you think about this, Jews and Gentiles, which weren't even supposed to be together, they were together, they were worshiping together, they were taking care of one another, the sick and the needs. And as I step back today and I look, we're different. I mean, I wish you guys could see the view that I see right now. We're different. We are not the same. That is not a bad thing. In my opinion, that is a beautiful thing. That our God has wired us so differently. You have so many different spiritual gifts and passions, so many that I don't even have and that you don't have. And this one has, but this one doesn't have. But collectively, it's a beautiful thing to step back as we work together, just like the train, working together, going to a destination to make disciples who make disciples. Are we going to have problems? You bet we are. You bet we are. But to be unified and to see that our common bond is the love of Jesus Christ that He's had for us, for each other, and in the end, we desire for that love to be spread into Greenville, Washington County, Mississippi, USA, and around the world, that that's our heartbeat. So how can you work towards unity? Well, the first thing you got to do is you have to pursue it. It's something that takes a lot of work. You have to be intentional about that. You have to be on top of that. It takes work because self is going to rise up every single time. Yourself and sin is going to rise up. You have to work on that. Another thing to do is to pray for each other. And we have a responsibility to pray for the body of Christ, to pray for our church. Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock over in the kids' building in the gym is a huge example of the body of Christ coming together and sitting down with people that maybe you don't know that well because they sit over there. And, you know, you always sit over here, and they sit over there, so you don't really know them, but you sit down and you find out about their life through their prayers and through being able to pray with them and come together to seek the Lord will unify you and bring you together. It also means to forgive. We've talked about that. It's hard. It's difficult. It also means to celebrate others, right? Whenever somebody else excels and God's doing a work over here to celebrate that. Look what God's doing. A lot of times we want to have the spotlight of what God's doing in my life or over here in this ministry. No, if somebody's winning here, that's a good thing. And for us to celebrate that. Other churches too. Look, other churches are not the competition. Other churches are brothers and sisters in Christ just like us. If God's doing a work over there, awesome. Let's celebrate that. Because if they win, we win. The gospel is being proclaimed and people are coming to know Christ. And that's an amazing thing. And then I encourage you to spend time with people that are different than you. People that you don't hang out with a lot. Get to know them. Get plugged into a life group, right? To be able to find out about people and to interact with them. So unity starts with you. Unity starts with me. Every day. This is not a Sunday or Wednesday thing. This is an every single day. Church, do you not want to see God do a work in Emmanuel Baptist Church where we are impacting this world, not just our town or our county, but this world for Christ? I mean, isn't that what we want? We have a desire to make a difference. It starts with you and it starts with me every day in your relationship with Jesus. So think about that. How's your walk with Christ? Really, how is your walk with Christ? What needs to change in your walk with Christ? How is your relationship with people here? Any conflict that needs to be resolved, resolve it. If you need somebody else to step in and be with you, that's okay too. Sit down and do the hard work so that we can be more unified and in the end, we can be stronger. And I pray that our prayer is Lord, what can I do to promote unity at Emmanuel? What can I do? We all have a responsibility, every single one of us. I'm going to pray for us and Tommy and I will be here. I think it's important for us to have a time to be able to respond. And if that means that you need to pray right there, if you need to get on your knees and pray, that's good. If you need to just stop and reflect and just think about things, that's a good thing. If there's anything going on in your life that you need prayer for, Tommy and I will be here. What we're going to do is as you come, we will guide you to the choir room here so that we can stop and take some time and really talk about what's going on. Because look, in a room this size, I know this, everything is not okay in life. And there are times whenever you need to talk about that. Maybe you feel in your heart right now, I don't have anybody to talk to. Not anymore. We're here for you. We would love to hear your story, to pray with you and to talk to you about anything that's going on in your life. You're not going to surprise us. Hey, I was telling somebody Friday, look, we all have a past, right? Man, look what every one of us do. We all have struggled in life, but God uses that in our lives to help others. So if there's anything going on in your life that you need prayer for, we would love to do that, okay? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the opportunity for us to be here as the body of Christ today, as Emmanuel Baptist Church. And God, as we think about unity and being united and the hard work that comes with that, Lord, I pray, God, that we will be challenged and inspired, God, to make sure, God, that is a priority for us. God, I just pray for every person here today and even online today, God, that we will look inwardly at our walk with you and how that's going. If there's anything that we need to change in our life, I pray we will act on that immediately, Lord God. And I pray for this time right now, God, that we will stop and just reflect, not think about anything else but you and what's going on in here and what you want us to do as a church, dear God. In your name I pray. Amen.
Father, we come to you now with so much disunity in this world today. We thank you that you call us to be unified, and what a difference it will make in this community if we are. What a rarity it is to see a group of people who are together. And Father, I just pray that as we seek you and as we pursue you, that it just brings us closer together as your people, as a church. Father, we love you and we need you. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, to close us out today, a few things. You guys do have your ballot, and if y'all would fill that out, turn that in. If anybody doesn't have a ballot, you can raise your hand. Anybody doesn't have one that needs one, we got one right here, one over here. Patrick, wave us again. Megan, right there. Back there in the back, Bubba, to be sure that we get that to everybody. And you can drop those in the blue. I don't know what they're called. They're not really buckets, little something over there by where we turn in our offering. Also, excited to present today Dennis and Janet Green. You guys can stand up for us. You guys know them. You love them. They are coming back to Emmanuel and excited. And I got to tell you, Wednesday, whenever I met with them, I was going, okay, I get to be with them. I get to encourage them. let me tell you, I left there, I was the one that was blessed. I was the one that was encouraged. Oh, there was a lot that I didn't know. These guys were the real deal, and so excited to be able to have them here. I'm trying to think, is there anything else, Ben, that I am missing that we need to talk about? Yeah, you go good, Roger.
You know, we've been
meeting
at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night. There's been 30 of us meeting over there. I'm just so encouraged about the people that's here today. You know, when I was a kid growing up, my mom would say, get in the house. And then that means that word. But I understood what she meant. God is telling us to get in his house. I'm encouraging each and every one of them. The children. God listens to children's prayers too. He'll listen to all our prayers. That's what's going to take to get our church back reaching people in this community. Pray. I believe that with all my heart. I've been showing up expecting God to do something. He's going to do something. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, we'll see how all that works out, right?